Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And once more in the Korean language, 우리 하느님 아버지와 주의 예수 그리스도부터 오는 은혜와 평강이 여러분에게 있으시기를 바랍니다. 아멘. My wife Shirley and I are very happy to be with you for a few days this week, serving as missionaries in residence. Happy for the opportunity to share with you from our experience in Korea in sharing the gospel, the same gospel with your fellow saints in Korea, and to share and learn from you also during these days. The text from John 2 is a good story. There's a celebration going on. It's a wedding. So there's also a sense of drama out there in the courtyard, a bit of mystery to which some people in the story are not known, but to us and others in the story, we are in on it. The story, the text, gives to us preachers an embarrassment of riches for preaching. The text is rich in homiletical suggestion. First, there is the first of Jesus' signs. John says this was the first of Jesus' signs. Sign is the word for those miraculous works that Jesus did. The synoptics also use wonder or power, work of power. John stays with semeion, the sign. And he uses this exclusively throughout his description of Jesus' great works, so that the first 12 chapters, where they're all included, is often called the Book of Signs. Next, the text gives us the replacement theme. Jesus has come in fulfillment of all that the old covenant entailed. At this wedding feast, we are confronted with these six jars of water kept water at hand for the rites of purification. Rites of purification, temple rites, all of this now no longer needed because the fulfillment of all that God has promised is at hand. So the water in the jars may be now used for the wine of the new age. Third, there is wine in abundance. Six jars, each holding some 25 gallons each, 150 gallons of wine, a great plenty. Plenty certainly for a wedding feast that's already well underway. It would probably even suffice for a wedding party on this campus. Plenty of wine was a symbol which the prophets used for God's grace and bounty in the age to come. The time is surely coming, Amos writes, when the mountains shall drip sweet wine and all the hills shall flow with it. This is that new and glorious age now at hand in the Lord. Plenteous grace and bounty. The next enrichment in the text is the appearance of Mary, a rare appearance of Mary, this quiet figure, thoughtful, sensitive, a model figure. She stays more in the background, although she does not hesitate to bring her son onto center stage. And then finally, Jesus' rather mysterious word, my hour has not yet come. The word hour will continue to appear in Jesus' words throughout the gospel, right up to that hour on the cross when he will be glorified fully and God's glorification will appear in him, so that these disciples might believe and the world might believe. Yes, the text overflows with an embarrassment of riches. But reading the text once again, I saw some riches of embarrassment. The wine was giving out. What embarrassing moment that no more wine for a wedding. This was averted by the servants and Mary, so that neither the groom nor the host even knew about it. Then there is this little bit of rough exchange between Jesus and Mary. Woman, what concern is this to you and to me? It isn't the address woman that's the problem, but his expression, which might be translated, you have no claim on me. The meaning, of course, is that Mary, in her motherly role, in her dependence on her only son, cannot stand in the way or hinder the role, the way that Jesus must go, that the Father has laid out for him. Finally, there was to me a kind of sense of embarrassment in reading that this is the first of Jesus' signs. The nature and character of this first sign, this rather commonplace event of changing water into wine at a wedding, is this worthy of the expenditure of Jesus' divine power? After all, John has just introduced him as the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Andrew finds Simon and says, we found the Messiah. And Nathanael says, Son of God, King of Israel. And John has opened his gospel saying, the Word is here, who was God, who was with God, who is God. All these titles just assigned to Jesus, and now he uses his divine power to provide more wine for a wedding where people have already had too much to drink. Indeed, the incarnation means that the Lord identifies himself with us in all the little things of our life, in all the embarrassments of our life. He is with us from the cradle to the grave. He attends us at our weddings and our funerals. He sees us through our shortcomings, our failures, and through our bounties. His succeeding signs were much more impressive, weren't they? The healing of the son of the official at Capernaum, the man at the sheep gate, feeding the 5,000, walking on the sea, raising Lazarus from the dead. All quite appropriate to him who bears all these titles, Son of God, Messiah, King of Israel. Still, we are to ponder the fact that his first sign was the changing of water into wine at a wedding, a very small thing in people's lives. He is sufficient for every need. None is too small for his loving care and concern. None is too great for the expenditure of his powerful love. He is fulfilling all that the Old Testament prophets had laid out for the people. He is here in fulfillment, but not recognized, so that his critics now ask him, what sign, when he had cleansed the temple, what sign do you give us for doing this? And his response is, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. His hour is at hand. The hour of his glorification at the cross, the hour of fulfillment of what God had laid upon him. An embarrassment of riches, indeed. God with us. The Lamb of God given for us. The Son of God who shares his sonship with us. The King of heaven who provides for every need. Our cup, our goblet is full. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.